Hey, Bart, can you come out and play?
No, I'm playing video games. Go away.
This is
your all-access source for everything gaming-related.
Thumbstick Nation!
With your host, Bart.
Will you accept the baptism to hell?
Booker, are you afraid of God?
No. But I'm afraid of you.
Are you ready?
BioShock Infinite is the third game in the BioShock series. While the first two BioShocks were set in the 1960s in the underwater city of Rapture, BioShock Infinite takes place in the year 1912, high in the sky in the flying city of Columbia. What separates Rapture from Columbia is Rapture was a haven for science, where Columbia is a haven for one particular religion. The BioShock series often shows how the good intentions of a utopia can quickly become a dystopia of epic proportions. Mix in the first-person perspective, the use of violence, guns, special powers, and graphic scenes, and you've got BioShock in a nutshell. I played the original BioShock, but I was not particularly pulled in by the game. The thing that bugged me most about the original was the main protagonist is silent. The silent protagonist has often been heavily used in games, allowing the players to create their kind of own mental dialogue as he watches and interacts with things and people around him. Sadly, I don't believe this really cuts it in the days of voice acting. I get bored of playing someone who says nothing, when every other character you run into is voice acted. It's ridiculous! I can play games without voice acting, I'm fine with it, but don't be all cheap. This isn't 1990s anymore.
I'm sorry.
Luckily, Infinite has you playing Booker DeWitt, a man who actually talks and has comments through the whole game.
Excuse me, it's Booker DeWitt? I guess you're expecting me?
This helps you really connect to the character as you experience all the strange and odd things with him. Booker is hired to retrieve a young woman named Elizabeth in order to erase all his gambling debts.
Bring us the girl and wipe away the debt!
Booker is taken on a rowboat to a lighthouse by a strange couple who you see through most of the game.
What do you want? What do you see here? From this angle.
Dead.
Listen.
And that angle?
Alive.
Booker finds a mysterious chair at the top of the lighthouse. Sitting on the chair causes it to strap him in and shoot him into the sky in a pod. This is when you see the magnificent city of Columbia, with giant statues and individual buildings floating together and apart, with nothing but balloons and the science of quantum anti-gravity particles. This is what the beginning of Infinite does well, lets you explore this mysterious place. It'll actually take you about an hour before you actually get to your first combat. Everyone here follows the prophet Zachary Hale Comstock, who created Columbia to be free of the sinning people of America, who he refers to as the Sodom Below. You notice that Comstock has created a cult-like faith around himself, based off Christian belief but him as the head prophet, and he uses historical figures like Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington as saints. You're even forced to be baptized before you enter the city and find Elizabeth.
I baptize you in the name of our prophet, in the name of our founders, and the name of our Lord.
There was a recent story of a man who demanded a refund because he was forced to be baptized and it went against his religious beliefs. If you're offended how religion is portrayed in this game, but you have no problem shooting the heads off people in this game, then perhaps you should reevaluate your priorities. Eventually, Booker's presence will mark him as a false shepherd, a villain in Comstock's religion, and turn the blindly faithful citizens of Columbia against him.
Don't you know that makes you the backstabbing snake in the grass, false shepherd?
The moment when you first have to fight some cops off was brutal, and it surprised me that you used your skyhook as a weapon. The skyhook is a device that you wear on your arm that functions as a melee weapon, and also lets you magnetically be pulled towards trolley rails all over Columbia to get around. There's a fine assortment of weapons in the game, many ahead of their time in 1912, much like the way Columbia is. But it fits the story, and you'll find out later why. Now, the first part of the story, you're looking for Elizabeth. Elizabeth is a beautiful, blue-eyed young woman with brunette hair who's been trapped in a giant angel statue since birth. What makes her so special is her ability to open rifts in time and space.
What is a tear?
It's like a window. A window to another world.
Booker can have Elizabeth use these tears in reality around the city to help in combat or to reach locations you couldn't reach otherwise. The best thing about Elizabeth, besides her beauty, she'll throw weapons or salts when you're low, allowing you to keep fighting longer without running out of ammo so often. Heck, she even gives you money sometimes. Blue eyes, dark hair, and she gives me money? She's the perfect woman. Now, salts are used to replenish your salt bar, which powers your vigors. Vigors are like potions you find in the game that'll give you new abilities. As you play the game, you'll find you have some minor choices here and there, but it's all really just an illusion. Luckily, it's one of those few stories where you don't have a choice and it doesn't matter, because the story's that strong. Though the one thing you'll notice, there's no real set good guys or bad guys, and everyone has a little bit of gray in them. At first, I didn't even realize there was racism in this game. The black citizens are treated as second class, and segregation is in full effect because this is 1912. Eventually, a group known as the Vox Populi rise up in a revolution to free themselves.
This is what needs to be done.
You see, the Founders ain't nothing but weeds. Cut them down and they just grow back. If you want to get rid of the weed, you gotta pull it up from the root.
It is in many ways the best game in the BioShock series. By the end of the game, almost everything is explained with a twist. The graphics and music are beautiful and fitting. And combat works, though it's not as in-depth as some shooters. My only complaint, though it is minor, is the fact that sometimes I wanted to skip some of the combats to get back to the progressing story. There is some replay value with a higher difficulty that unlocks when you finish the game, and looking for hidden things you might have missed the first time through. I am surprised it didn't include a multiplayer option, but I'm a firm believer that games don't need multiplayer to be good. My final score for BioShock Infinite is 9.5. The game really makes you think, in much the way art does, though some will be offended by the ideas presented here. Either way, BioShock Infinite is an experience you won't soon forget.
There's always a lighthouse. There's always a man. There's always a city.
I'm Bart, and this has been another Thumbstick Nation review. Next week, we fly into the DC Universe to prove once and for all that Batman can beat Superman.